Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you are the God who is so extraordinary, so amazing, so beyond our comprehension, as we heard about in the early verses, that book of Isaiah. And yet you're the God who comes to us in Jesus, despite our own anxieties and doubts. You're the God who comes and shows himself to us. Help us to understand a bit more about that today, and especially in the context of baptism. Help us to understand what it means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are a lot of things. We've been doing a series in this church from the Gospel of Mark, from the account of Mark as he's gone through Jesus' life for us. And we're up to chapter 12 today, which is why we've got that far. What we've been learning is that the first 8 chapters or so of Mark essentially is kind of trying to help us work out who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? And right in chapter 8, we get this amazing moment when Jesus says to his disciples, you know, who do other people say I am? Who do people say I am? And they give a little list of who it is that people think that Jesus is. And then he says to them and says, so what about you? What about you? Who do you say I am? And you get this brilliant declaration of Peter, who speaks up. He was quite an impetuous fellow, and he immediately, and big mouthed, and I bear no resemblance. And he immediately chips in and goes, "You are the Messiah." And by that, Peter and also Mark, as he reports this story, means you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, you are the Saviour. That's who you are. This is who you are. And the next chapters on from that try to help us understand, well, so what, really? So what for Jesus? What does it mean for him? But also, so what for us? What does it mean to us? So that's what we've been doing. And this morning, we're just kind of continuing in that series. And there's so much in this passage that we've just read. The stuff about politics in here, the stuff about eternal life. But I just want to focus on sort of one thing, which is about two things really, image and inscription. And I want to look at the coin, if we've got that. Ah, look, there we go. Here's one we prepared earlier. In fact, just a few minutes before this sermon began, I went and checked with Sarah and said, I'm so sorry, I forgot to say, I've got a picture. So thank you so much for bringing that up. So this is a coin of Tiberius Caesar, okay, and Tiberius Caesar was the Caesar, the ruling king, the ruling emperor of the time, and he ruled from 14 AD, that's right, from 14 AD to 37 AD. Now, if Jesus was born around zero, of course, because that's where we kind of date our calendar from, we're not sure it was necessarily that time. Jesus, when he is doing his ministry now, is between 30 and 33. In fact, at this point, he's about to die, so he's about 33 years old. And so therefore, Tiberius Caesar was the ruling Caesar. And this might actually have been the exact same type of coin that Jesus was brought when he said to the people, bring me a coin and show it to me. And he said to them, what image is on it? And this is the image of Tiberius Caesar, the ruling Caesar of the time. And so ironically, it says these words, Tiberius Caesar, son of divine Augustus. That's what it says on the bit with his head. And the bit to the right-hand side, for those of you who can read Latin, it says Pontiff Maxim, which is essentially high priest. High priest, that's what it means. This is who Tiberius Caesar claimed to be. And from the time of Augustus, the Caesars claimed for themselves, they were gods. That's what they're claiming for themselves. And this is his image. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, to have a coin like this, like the exact one that Jesus comments about. The coin bore this image. This is the image. And Jesus says, well, look, as it's Caesar's, because it's got his image on it, it's like his monogram, it's like he's sort of perfectly, you know, I mean, Mark Hughes and I, who Mark is on our desk this morning, our audio desk, we have a serious problem with our names, okay? Because Mark Hughes is M-H, and Mark puts M-H quite rightly on all of his cables and things, so everything is marked up M-H. And I learnt this fairly early on when I turned up with a whole load of my cables and electrical gear for a gig that we were kind of doing, and my initials are HW. which is exactly the same as MH. And I'd very carefully used black marker pen to mark up all my stuff, and Mark had done exactly the same. I acquired a whole load of stuff that day. Not true. We were quite careful to go, oh, this is an absolute disaster. So isn't it interesting? But you put your initials on something, don't you, to kind of say, this is mine, it belongs to me. Sometimes in the olden days, do any of you remember books? You know, things with a cover and pages in them. I don't use them anymore other than this one. And you used to write your name inside, didn't you, to say it was yours. And you might lend it to someone and you'd write your name inside to make sure you got it back. You name something to say it's yours. There's an element of reality of that for us with money, because we have, you know, our money has the king on it, previously the queen on it, and what it's saying about it is actually it really belongs to them. It's kind of like you can keep it and use it as your way of spending stuff, but really it belongs to them. So when Jesus says to the people who came to him and says, should we pay tax? He goes, well, show me a picture of a coin. And they bring to him a coin, and it would have been probably exactly this coin. Not this exact coin, but exactly the same as this type of coin, this currency. And he took it and he said, well, whose image is on this? To whom does it belong? Whose initials are on it? Is it MH or HW? Which way around do you want to hold it? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And he said, well, in that case, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I'm not going to get in an argument with Caesar. It's his. It's his coin. Why would he not want it? And then he says something extraordinary. He says, and give to God what is God's. Now, the interesting thing is, you see, that right at the very beginning of the Bible, and this is kind of, there's a bit of a theme emerges. And that theme that begins at the beginning of the Bible is that we are made in the image of God. His stamp is on us. He says about us, you belong to me. Ooh. In fact, we kind of said similar words to that in when we talked about the faith, profession of faith. We asked the question, do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life? The one for whom we exist. Now, it wasn't a trick, okay, this morning. If you answered, I believe and trust in him, we're not going to hold you to that promise, okay? We're not going to kind of accuse you of lying if you said the words there. And I should have said at the beginning of the service, and I apologize. With any of the words that we use at the church here, I try to remember to say, join in with what you feel able to. Because we don't want people to kind of, you know, lie to themselves and to other people around about them just to kind of go, well, we're joining in, that's what we do. I mean, at times, some of us, if we're not careful, we find ourselves doing that in our world, don't we? I've sat in the away end with a group of fans and gone, this is awkward. And going, shall I join in or not join in? There's a risk, isn't there? If you don't join in, the fans around you are going to notice that you do not belong to us. You know, therefore, we can take the mickey out of them, or worse. But we're not going to do that in church. This is not a kind of football stadium where we're going to go, if you don't join in, mate, you know. So please don't sing things if they're not for you. And please don't join in with things. But it may be that you said those words this morning, or it may be that you didn't say those words this morning. But the reality is, if there is a God, they're still true. Doesn't stop them being true if you didn't say them. Because if it is true that God the Father is the source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist, then his image is on us. We, in some way, and perhaps in every way, belong to him. That's to whom we are accountable. Now, we have accountability in our lives. We have obligations. We know this. We have some legal obligations to the state. That's one of the things Jesus was saying. He said, you have a legal obligation to the state. This coin belongs to Caesar. Therefore, you know, give to him because it's his, you know. Pay your taxes, in other words. Obey the law. And if you don't obey the law, and if you don't pay your taxes, there are consequences for that. We have those obligations. Some of us have financial obligations, whether that is obligations of debt, you know, whether it is a mortgage on a house or a loan on a car or some kind of lease repayment type arrangement. And we have perhaps what we might call moral obligations. And in this time, we begin to kind of a little grey area, don't we? Because moral obligations can vary and shift from culture to culture. But to some extent, we tend to think in terms of we have a moral obligation to treat others well, not to interfere when it's none of our business, but to interfere and to help and to intervene when people need help. But who's going to hold us accountable to those things? And we have an obligation to God, an absolute obligation to our Creator. We are answerable to Him. The Bible talks about the fact that it's given that we all might live, but also that we might die once and face judgment. It's not a popular term, is it? But that we may have to answer. The way the Bible talks about us is that we're given our autonomy, we're given our freedom. We can, to some extent, explore the world. And that's what Tilly will do. It's certainly what Bertie and Arthur have done. Maybe slightly more Bertie than Arthur, I don't know. But there's an exploration of the boundaries, aren't there? That's what we do as children. We explore the boundaries. We try and work out what are the things. Some of us just simply are working out on the basis of what can we get away with. And some of us are working out on the basis of, well, what's the right thing to do? What's the proper thing to do? Some of us are working out on the basis of what will make me look good. In terms of things that I do and don't do. But ultimately, as children, there are obligations that we have. We are answerable to our parents. But we are given by our parents a measure, I hope, otherwise we need to have a safeguarding conversation. But we're given a measure of freedom to explore the world and to discover it, aren't we? And that's what will happen for Tilly as she grows up. She, like Bertie and Arthur, and like all of us here, whether we're children or adults, have had that moment when we have been given opportunity to explore and to make our own decisions, to have a certain autonomy. Now that my own children are fully grown up and adults, I mean, they're entirely at liberty to make their own mistakes and to make some good choices, which probably I wouldn't have advised them to make because I'd have got it wrong. God gives us that same level of autonomy. The difference, though, between us as children and our own children is that actually we never stop being children of God. We never stop being accountable to Him for our behaviour. His image is in us. Now, there's another thing about the image, and that is the inscription. And this morning in baptism, essentially what we've done is we've said we have an inscription which we want to kind of inscribe on Tilly. There was a little moment again in the baptism where it talked about we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. And here, this was in the introduction, and it says, here we are clothed with Christ. Here we are clothed with Christ. I sometimes say, you know, that actually when we are baptized, it's kind of like we give the child, in this case Tilly, a shirt that she wears, you know, that says something about her. You know the sort of thing that you get, you know, I love my dad. You know, that you get when you're kind of 3 months old and you don't even know who your dad is yet, you know. So, but apparently you love them. So sometimes we give people shirts which may or may not mean anything. I'm going to tell you a terrible, terrible story now. This is something which will shock some of you to your core. But I have a friend who is a Portsmouth supporter who once sat wearing a Southampton shirt with the Southampton fans. I know. I mean, I'm in counselling for it. I think they need to be in counselling for it. Because, I mean, if you know the history, there is quite a kind of, let's say, a little bit of banter between Pompey and Saints supporters, aren't there? So he wore something which didn't really represent who he was. Now, we've said about Tilly this morning, as those of us who have been baptised has been said about all of us, that we are people who will turn away from sin. Now, most of us are quite happy with that. We go, there's a load of bad stuff over there. We don't really want to get involved in that bad stuff. Nobody wants to be doing kind of murderous stuff or any of those kind of things. No. We're quite happy to say I turn away from sin. And the next thing is, I reject evil. Well, that's the same kind of stuff, isn't it? Of course I reject that. I'm not really interested in any of that stuff, okay? And then it says, I turn to Christ as Saviour. And you go, well, yeah, I mean, if he's going to save, what is he saving me from? But if he's going to save me, I'll have some of that. You know, that's okay. That's kind of slightly more grey area, but I'll go with that one. And then the final one says this, I submit to Christ as Lord. And for every one of us who's been baptised until here this morning, that's the question. Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you recognise that his image is in you? And do you respond to that image? What's the inscription in you? Is it that I am someone who rejects evil, turns away from sin, turns to Christ as Saviour? Is that what's written on us? And I trust him as Lord. Jesus invites us into family. He says, I want you to be my children. You are already, to some extent, with the image of Christ. You are all my children. But you can choose autonomy. You can choose to be part of this family or not part of this family. I'm not going to make you stay in this family. And I want you to make good choices. And for each of us, for Tilly included, I mean, some of us really painfully know this about our own family, where we've had situations of family breakup or breakdown, where an individual or collection of individuals have separated from other members of the family. And perhaps for some of us, it's a really painful personal experience. And we've known how folk have kind of left. And we each have a choice. God has placed his image in us. We can be people who say, I will give to God what belongs to God. In other words, I will hand myself over to him. My experience of handing myself over to Jesus is that actually he knows best. He's God, after all. You know, I might think sometimes I'm godlike, but can I just assure you I'm absolutely not. But I have a God who has me. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean it's always nice. It doesn't mean I suddenly get a load of stuff. But what I do get is absolutely overwhelming sense of someone who loves me and loves me. And loves me. And I know that for Kat and Tom is how they feel about Tilly and how Tilly will experience her mum and dad's love. And my mum and dad love me, but it goes even beyond that. Because even when they're not around, I still know that I'm loved. God loves us. That's why Jesus came. God loves us. That's why Jesus hung on a cross. God loves us. Jesus was raised from the dead to give us life now and life forever. And his image is upon me. And the inscription for me is, absolutely, I want to turn away from sin. I still make mistakes, but I know God welcomes me back. I want to reject evil. I still make mistakes, but God welcomes me back. I turn to Christ who saves me from that stuff and helps me to try and walk forwards with him. And in answer to the question, do I trust in him as Lord? My answer is I do. And I want to encourage us to examine who we are. Whose image is on us? What is the inscription that's written upon us? And for Tom and Kat and for the godparents who've made promise this morning, to the best of your ability, to encourage Tilly to be someone who will acknowledge Jesus as Lord and have that written as an inscription upon her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love that you lavish on us. We thank you for the grace you show us. We thank you that you come to save us. We pray that you'd help us in understanding who you really are and what it is that you want to give us, and that we might be willing to receive the fullness of that, to give ourselves over to you, that we would receive all that you are for ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us in our understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt.